We salute you in the name of Christ, and by his grace, with a heartfelt greeting of Happy New Year. We've already said goodbye and good riddance to the year 2020. And I'm thinking that we are glad to see 2020 go. Nobody's going to miss the year 2020. What a mess it was. But you know, struggles are needful. And we being in the flesh and being human beings, we don't like the process of pain. We don't like the process of suffering. Just want to remind you right here that God is the potter, and we are the clay. 2020 was necessary, helping us to refocus, to rebuild, to be reborn. Without doubt, it was a rough year, but it was a good year, if for no other reason than we are still here. We're still here. Our God, our Lord, our Shepherd, saw to it to bring us through. We're here in light of the fact that 2020 was rough, and yet it was necessary. It was necessary for Jesus to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the priests and rulers and etc. It was necessary for Jesus to go by way of Samaria to have a discussion with the woman at the well, John chapter 4. In Acts chapter 8, persecution broke out in the church, and verse 4 says that the people of God were scattered abroad, but everywhere they went preaching. They went preaching the word. What if, beloved, what if the Church of Christ of the 21st century, what if as a baby is weaned from sucking his or her mother's breast to eating solid food, what if the church today is being weaned so we are pushed out of the building to take the Lord's church into the hood and touch the lives of the people there, because we represent God in showing them and displaying his love that God cares about Maywood. God cares about the surrounding communities. God cares about this world in which we live. If you ask me, we are positioned to thrive, not just survive. As we continue, I want to pick up in a way in the series we began last year. You must love your preacher. Because you allowed me I didn't hear one complaint. You allowed me to go on a sabbatical for 6 weeks. I've never done that before. And we're so grateful for your prayers and your loving support through that very difficult time for Brother Lopez. Have you ever experienced the restoration ministry of the Shepherd of God? You don't have to answer out loud. I just want you to think about it. After you've wandered from the fold, I'm not trying to mess with nobody, but I have learned even just recently, and I'm still learning, that just because we are in the assembly doesn't mean that we're not wandering. You don't have to say amen. The record says that if you are like most children of God, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the text says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. We've turned to our own way. We're doing our own thing. We're making decisions that satisfies our fleshly desires. Now, although Isaiah 53 and verse 6 speaks of people in general, sadly, it is also true of believers. In both cases, when a sheep decides to go their own way, the shepherd, bless the Lord for the shepherd accepts responsibility and must take action. I need to let you know, it may not feel like the most pleasant of experiences when the shepherd begins the ministry of restoration, but the Hebrew writer suggests the following in verse 11 of Hebrews 12. He says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained, bless the Lord, in this way. Now, I want to use two passages. We're going to look at the text of Psalm 51, and we're going to kiss it with Psalm 23, and particularly verse 3. All right? In Psalm 51, or even before I even mention that, let me punctuate what I'm about to say with the fact, or reminding, calling to our remembrance the fact that life is just one decision, one choice after another. Will you agree with that? And sometimes we get to a point where decisions can wear us out. What am I going to wear today? What color shoes is going to match? Where are we going to live? Who are we going to marry? Which job am I going to take? What do I want for breakfast? Y'all all right? I know that sometimes we don't think much, but we are making decisions, perhaps even thousands of them, each and every single day. Researchers say that if we're not careful, we get to a point where we experience decision fatigue. You ever felt tired? You come home one day, or you reunite with your family, and your wife asks you, "Well, honey, what you want for dinner?" And you've been making decisions all day, and you don't even want to answer, "Honey, whatever you say." You ever had that experience? Because life is just one choice after another. Some choices we make are good. Some choices we make are bad. Which means that there's a 50-50 chance we make both good and bad choices. Stay with me now. King David, in Psalm 51, made some of each as well. And in the context of Psalm 51, he knew that the decision he made when he looked out on the roof of a building across the street and he saw a woman taking a bath, he knew that when he decided to call that woman and to get out there and do what he did, that was a bad or a sinful decision. And as such, he needed to be restored. That's why in verse 12 of Psalm 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You and I make both good and poor choices. So, the text of Psalm 51, were written for people like you and me, sheep who have gone astray, people who have hidden failures, broken lives, folk who have given up on themselves, folk who have guilt and shame in our lives, folk who have lost their joy, folk who have stepped over the line. If you notice in Psalm 51, in the first four verses, David uses three words to express the choices or the decisions that he made that were poor. He uses the word sin, he uses the word transgression, and he uses the word iniquity. Sin. To miss the mark. Is that all right? It's a slip of the foot, if you will. To take the wrong path. And I don't know, I heard an African proverb the other day that says, when you fall, don't look where you fell, look where you slipped. The reason being Where you slipped and where you fall are not the same place. I know that. I just learned that from experience. Just a few days ago, I was taking out the trash, stepped on some thin film of ice. The bag winded up about 6 feet away. And where I slipped was a few feet behind me. You see, where we fall, or where or when we sin, we don't have to look where we fall. We have to look back where we made the choice not to do what God, or what we know God wants us to do. So sin is a decision to fail or to fall. It's personal and it's voluntary. He talks about transgression, and he says transgression is the idea of stepping over the line. It's going beyond a set limit. Rebellion. To rise up in defiance of authority. In this case, God. It's doing what is contrary to a prescribed standard. Iniquity, that's lawlessness or wrongdoing. It's something that should be punished under the law. What's your point, preacher? Could it be that sin at its core is playing God, making a decision, knowing what the Word of God says, and it's our standard, but instead rather choosing to do whatever you and I want, playing God. Lying to ourselves all day, every day, insisting that we can get our lives to do whatever it is we want to do. Playing God. Living under the delusion that life can be controlled and that we can control our lives on our own strength and without God. Playing God. Struggling constantly to maintain the illusion of control, that you and I are the ones really controlling our lives. It's just an illusion. Control is not real. That's why the Bible says continually that you and I need to be led. Guide us thou, O great Jehovah. Playing God. Having to dull the pain of failure with alcohol, drugs, TV, pills, overwork, or whatever compulsive behaviors that numb ourselves to the reality of life's uncontrollability. What happens is we spiral into madness, insanity of delusional thinking and addictive behaviors that make sense only to a mind that is drunk on insanity, that we play in God. I want to submit to you, in light of Psalm 51 and the specific choice that David made, that the real disease of which you and I suffer is playing God. It's helpful for us to see sin like addiction as a disease. And addiction is really an honest description for what the Bible calls sin. Stay with me. This is important for you and I to acknowledge, because when we give in to the disease of playing God, to the addiction of sin, danger becomes imminent and very, very real. So you can see from Psalm 51, look at the language that's used that helps us to suggest, helps us to think that we are really not in control. He says, have mercy. Verse 1, blot out. Verse 2, wash me. Verse 2, cleanse me. Then he says, purge me, verse 7. Wash me, verse 7. Make me, verse 8. Create in me, verse 10. Renew within me, verse 11. Cast me not, verse 11. Take not thy presence from me, verse 12. Restore unto me, verse 11. Verse 12, uphold me. David is acknowledging that it's sinful to make choices in our own strength and without God. Amen, anyhow. And when we do that, church, when we do that, beloved, the need for the restoration ministry of the shepherd is needed. Let's go over to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. And then it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. You see that? Suggesting that when, as sheep, there is a danger of losing or missing the path of righteousness. And when God restores us, he brings us back to the right path. And he does it for his name's sake. Let's talk about these dangers real quickly. Sheep can be easily distracted. While they get to nibbling on some green blades of grass, amen, taking their eyes, paying more attention to the grass than to the shepherd. And before you know it, they stray and find themselves separated from the flock. Amen, anyhow. As disciples, as members of the Lord's body, we are no different. I said, we are no different. We take our eyes off the Lord, and before we know it, we too have drifted. The Bible says there is a path that leads to worship on Sunday morning. There's a path that leads to worship not only on Sunday, but every day. The Bible says there is a path that leads to prayer and quiet time with God daily. The Bible says we ought to meditate. There's a path that leads to Bible study, to meditating on the Word of God day and night. The Bible says there's a path that leads to loving our neighbor as ourselves. The Bible says there's a path that leads to loving God with everything that's within us. The Bible says there is a path that leads to being and making disciples. But we let the world turn us down a different path. We let the devil turn us down a different path. And we let ourselves turn us down a different path. And before we know it, we find ourselves completely off the paths the shepherd wants to lead us in. I brought my own amen for that. Amen. And things get worse and worse and worse, because not only are we separated from the flock, we're separated from the shepherd. Sheep stray because they take their eyes off the shepherd. Noah did it. Moses did it. Abraham did it. Solomon did it. David did it. Peter did it. You and I have done it. We've all heard stories about the family dog. The family goes on vacation hundreds of miles away. The dog gets lost. The family returns home, and there's the dog on the steps. Huh? Horses return to the stable. Cows return to the barn. Hello. Some animals have an inner compass that enables them to find their way, but sheep don't. Once sheep begin to wander, they rarely find their way back to the flock. Are y'all feeling me? I'm talking about restoration, because I'm coming out of a period of restoration myself. And I know what you think you saw, but I'm telling you that on the inside of me was a whole different ballgame, whole different story going on. Part of the problem is sheep have limited vision. They're nearsighted. They can't see no more than 10 to 15 yards or so ahead. They only know what's right in front of them. Sound like I'm talking about you, right? No. Well, it must be me. It's difficult for sheep to plan their steps in the future. Just like you and me. We have limited vision. That's why we try to focus on only one thing at a time. I want to encourage you today. Put the shepherd in your close range vision and keep him there. Did you hear me? Put the shepherd in your close range vision and keep him there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because we cannot see long range, but Jesus can. When David says he restores my soul, God gives him a direction in life. Amen. He's saying, I know my life is going somewhere. I know I'm moving in the right direction. I know that I'm back on the right path. Could it be, beloved? Could it be? Could it be that God gives each person who asks a big picture vision of where their lives are going? You see, God will give you a vision of what he wants you to accomplish in your life. He will give you goals. He'll give you dreams. He'll give you long-range hopes and plans. If you're serious, when you are sincere, he'll give you a purpose to pursue. Yeah. He'll give you a ministry to make full proof of. Yeah. He'll give you a race for you to run. Now, hold on a minute. It's essential to purpose and to long-term vision to have short-term direction. Did you hear me? The journey of 1,000 miles is made by taking individual steps day after day. And in order to get there, each day's steps must be taken in the right direction. And so this is where the shepherd leads us. We don't always know what the right steps are to take, but he does. He leads us day by day. Beloved, I don't mean you no harm, but not Sunday by Sunday. He leads us day by day in the paths to make sure that our lives become what he intends for them to become. Bless us. Listen, don't you see? Only the shepherd can do that. Begin each day with prayer. Begin each day with Bible study. Don't miss days. You're going to miss your step. You're going to misstep when you miss days. And day after day and day, it becomes easier. And before you know it, you in worship, but you're separated from the flock. The Word of God provides correction and direction on a daily basis. Get in it. Let it get in you and tell you what step to take. Without it, we're nothing more than a bunch of dreamers, a bunch of wandering sheep with good ideas and good intentions who cannot find our way to the next step in the journey. The shepherd gets us back on the right path and moving in the right direction. But now, not only does he get us back on the right track, on the right path, but he'll get us back on our feet. See, sometimes sheep get turned over on their backs and they cannot get up. Philip Keller says, this usually happens about a week or so before birth. And here's where I got touched with this illustration. See, because when a sheep is pregnant, it has extra weight. And she will lay down. She'll squat. And then she'll lay down. And before you know it, because of the heavy weight, you know the sheep lays on her side, right? Before you know it, because of a heavy weight, the center of gravity will shift. And what the sheep does is she discovers that her feet are no longer on the ground. And so she lies there flailing frantically, struggling to get back on her feet, but cannot do it. Here's the thing. In that position, the sheep usually don't bleat. They refuse to cry out for help. Can I talk to you? Can we talk for a minute? It's easy. It's so easy. To find yourself on your back, not being able to get up, and not cry out for help. We think we are right. Others think we are right. But we're cast down. Why is my soul cast down, O God? You see the two dangers? One, the sheep gets lost. Two, the sheep gets cast down. And so we just lay there in frightened frustration. It's no different with you and me. In a spiritual sense, that is, we fall down too. And when we fall in such a way that we can't get up either. On our own, that is. We get ourselves into situations that we cannot fix. We lay there lashing about, trying to get up on our own, in our own strength, and refusing to cry out for help. And the situation just keeps getting worse. One of the writers says, fallen sheep is an everyday part of the shepherd's experience. Did you get that? Some sheep have difficulty learning. Lay down on the soft grass. They roll on their side to stretch out. And slowly, the center of gravity shifts. And discover they're no longer on their feet. Their feet are no longer on the ground. And try as hard as they cannot get up. It takes the watchful shepherd. There's the good news. It takes the watchful shepherd who will rescue fallen sheep. But then the next day, there's a good chance that same sheep will be fallen again. Look at the process of restoration. The shepherd massages the sheep's legs to get the blood flowing again. He rolls the sheep on the side. It takes time. The ministry of reconciliation, restoration. It takes time. The shepherd rolls the sheep back on the side because laying on its back, gases. Y'all know what gas is? Gases build up. And if it's if the weather is hot, those gases build up, cut off oxygen to the sheep's brain, heart, and the sheep can die in a matter of hours in that position. He rolls the sheep on its side. Meanwhile, he's talking to the sheep, comforting the sheep. And he gently puts his hand underneath the sheep's belly and holds the sheep up. He doesn't let it go because the sheep is still wobbly. Blood is beginning again to flow in its feet, so it's a little bit wobbly. He's staying right there with his hands underneath the sheep's belly, and he holds the sheep. Until the sheep can stand on its own two feet. The ministry of restoration. Let me jump back. I feel my time slipping away, and I don't want to tax you too much. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I like this version better. He says, let me begin reading in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. You see that? Create in me a clean heart. Give me the capacity for new life, for new living. Give me a new heart, a new spirit, O God, and renew a right spirit with a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. The word of presence there is the concept of face, right? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And in verse 12, and listen, not everybody has the Holy Spirit, right? Right? So you see this, oh man, all right. So he says in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's possible to lose your joy. Lose the joy of your salvation and not even know it. You're glad and you're happy, but it ain't got nothing to do with the fact that you've been saved. And this version says, and make me willing to obey. Now, that's my one point. That's my one point. I want you to write, if you're taking notes, or in the black on the blackboard of your mind, write the word surrendered. With the ED on the end, not surrender, right? Because a willingness to surrender, you're still making a choice. I'm talking about the surrendered life. He's asking God, David is asking God to make him more obedient. Praise God. Make him more obedient now to his will. Now, stay with me. I'm done in a minute. I know we took the scenic route. I was thinking I could have just made this point and let you go, but I wanted you to have a sense of the need and the danger of losing your way and of being cast down in your own life. Lest you drift. And drifting is so gradual, you don't notice it. I'm striving to protect you, to be used by God to protect you. How can a shepherd lead us unless we are surrendered? How can a shepherd lead us? How can a shepherd fashion an unyielded life when we are not yielded? What can a potter do with clay that will not comply? So in light of the need for the ministry of restoration, in light of the danger of losing your way, of playing God, of being cast down, I have an assignment that speaks right out of this phrase. Surrendered. The surrendered life. In Romans 6 verse 13, yield yourselves unto God. In Romans 12 verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, they gave themselves first. They first gave themselves unto God. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 2, the text says that you should no longer live the rest of your life or your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And look at this, look at this. There's one more verse that is not in my notes, but it's there. It's pertinent. In 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 15. Read verse 14 and 15. Somebody, if you want to read, or you get there before me, because it's getting time to close. And I don't want you, stay right there. Don't you move a muscle. Please. Because I'm talking to you. I'm sharing with you now where the whole, I'm putting the whole lesson in context. Anybody there? 14, read. For the love of Christ compels us. Did you see that? We know Christ died for our sins, but we don't see that the reason, the purpose, is so that we would live no longer unto ourselves, but unto Him. Brethren, we've got to pay more attention to the decisions that we make that put us on the wrong path, that puts our souls in danger. That's why David said, the shepherd restores my soul. Only the shepherd can do it. It's voluntary. You and I have to accept personal responsibility to make the choice to do it. It's voluntary. Am I yielded? Am I surrendered to God? Ask yourself this question. Am I surrendered? Surrendered. Not willing to surrender. That's a choice. Am I surrendered? David is saying, make me surrender to God. We belong to Him. We were bought with a price. God doesn't want our money. God really ain't interested in sacrifices. What He wants first is our set. He wants us. God wants you. God wants me. We ought not live unto ourselves. So here's your assignment. I'm closing. I may have introduced to us, some of us, something called a breath prayer. A breath prayer is based on inhaling and exhaling. Your assignment for the year 2021. Our assignment. Because I'm already overwhelmed, overtaken, because of the journey in my sabbatical, which you allowed me so graciously. My word for the year is surrendered. I want to suggest, you can take it if you want it. I'm just saying, here's your assignment. It's a breath prayer. When you inhale, you say in your mind, Lord, your will be done. When you exhale, you say to your mind, in your heart, my will be gone. Brethren, listen, it don't take 10 minutes to pray this prayer. If we're going to be surrendered, all right, if we're going to be surrendered, and listen, the reason why this word is crucial is because in light of the pain, in light of the addictions, just because Lopez says he's a crack addict or he's a alcoholic in recovery doesn't mean that you doesn't have an aholic. You understand what I'm saying? There are behaviors, there are addictive behaviors that when whatever happens in your life, it acts as a trigger and you respond in a certain way that numbs the pain of failure and whatnot in your life. We're all addicts. And so God has given me a ministry personally of recovery. See, I'm a recovering addict. I haven't touched that stuff in I don't know how many years. All right? Whenever I was baptized, was 1988, I haven't touched any of that stuff in all that time. But I got some other stuff I'm working on too. You understand what I'm saying? You're with me? In order, since I have been restored, the first order of business is me asking God to make me more willing to be obedient. And so that takes us right into being positioned for the 12-step program. And in case you're thinking, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not addicted to narcotics, you are addicted to playing God. All of us are. The 12-step program did not begin as a solution for a treatment for alcoholism and narcotic addiction. It began to address spiritual formation of Christ in the lives of people. It wasn't until after Bill Wilson came and put it in the context of alcohol and et cetera. The ministry that God gave me is directly connected to the 12-step program. So guess what we're getting ready to preach for the next 3 years? And it's very simple. I ain't trying to mess with nobody. What's your assignment? Your assignment is living a surrendered life by practicing something. Here's something to help you. Use the breath prayer as often as you can. That's all I have. I thank you again. I thank you again, because had it not been, and you know that my sabbatical started early, it came upon me. Listen, I was decision fatigued. I was coming to church and hallelujah, and all that. But I can tell you, beloved, there was something else going on underneath what you saw. And now, thanks be to God, now he is making me a wounded healer. The pain, the suffering, the stuff, all that stuff, he's using it. He's given me a ministry. He's given me that specific ministry that began with my pain to bring healing to everybody in my world, beginning with you. And I'm going to tell you, it's personal. This ain't just church work and church talk. This is personal. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. Because until we start dealing with our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups, we will never experience recovery. We'll remain addicts. I don't believe God wants that for me. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he doesn't want it for me. But I'm also convinced that he doesn't want it for you. Let's live surrendered lives. Now, we can begin today. Maybe you there, you out here, we in worship, and you are refusing to cry out for help. You know your soul is empty. You know it. You know you're on the wrong path. You in worship. But you've taken your eyes off the shepherd. However you need to respond, allow the shepherd to do his ministry of restoration in your life, so that you can live a surrendered life from today. From today, from right now. Because that's all you can really see anyhow. You don't have to figure out how to do it. You just have to do it. Ask the Lord to make you surrendered today. And let's live a life of recovery beginning today. Let's be a church that is known for a place of healing for life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That's Lopez's ministry. Let's journey together.